Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair. If you enjoy binge-watching the best TV shows and love hearing from the actors and showrunners who make them happen, then subscribe to Vanity Fair. Our Hollywood reporters take you behind the scenes of the year's most anticipated projects, the industry's biggest moves, and the hardest-fought awards races. From The Crown to The Real Housewives, we've got the inside scoop. As a special thank you to our still-watching audience, we're offering 15% off a yearly digital subscription to Vanity Fair. Visit vanityfair.com today and use promo code POD15. That's vanityfair.com, promo code POD15, for 15% off a yearly digital subscription to everything you want.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't really understand how I ended up here. Dashing around and losing sight of myself in the process.
Hello and welcome to Still Watching, a weekly television podcast from Vanity Fair. I'm Richard Lawson.
I'm Hilary Busis.
And I'm Chris Murphy. And we are back. And this time around, we are going to be talking about season 6, the final season of the Netflix series, The Crown.
This is not one we have tackled on this podcast before, for reasons that we'll get into later in terms of formatting. But don't worry, we're going to explain how this podcast is going to work when the show is, well, available in two kind of big chunks. But before we get into that, let's just talk more generally. What do we think about The Crown? I mean, obviously, it's a very VF-y show, but are we fans?
Well, I guess I have to be honest. I wasn't a fan until season 4. I sort of was like...
So Diana was your window in?
Diana was my way in.
I mean, that's understandable.
I think she's many people's way in. Mm-hmm. And I thought that season was fantastic. I really loved it. Emma Corrin, Josh Charles, they were so great, so fantastic. And then I fell off in season 5. I've since watched season 5.
Right.
It's been a little bit of a... I was a late arrival, and then I was in, and then I was out. Mm-hmm. I guess they brought me back in again.
Season 5 is more sort of the divorce, right? The kind of dissolution of the marriage.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. I think that I am sort of with you, Chris, in that I think that The Crown has had ebbs and flows. I think season 1's really good. I think Claire Foy is great as the queen, as the young queen. I think that it has some really great moments. You know, the Elizabeth and Margaret relationship is fascinating and complicated, and especially in those early seasons, it's a real focal point of the show. And it maybe sort of loses its way a little bit kind of in the middle and comes back really strong when Diana enters the picture again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think The Crown is really interesting. It's got great performances. You can see how much, you know, detail is put into every like recreation of every giant moment. It's clear it's a famously expensive show, and I think it shows on screen.
But don't worry, the British taxpayers pay for it.
Well, and I think it's also really interesting in like a meta-textual way, if I may sound a little obnoxious, as sort of an argument for the monarchy, because I think that is kind of the shadow project of the show, is like, this is why you should care about the monarchy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I have British friends who are like, why are Americans so into that show? Like, no one cares about it here. I mean, I'm sure that's not entirely true. But the royalism of The Crown is always something that's up for debate. And it's something that I am, you know, as a fan of the show, as someone who's reviewed seasons of the show, I'm certainly cognizant of and critical of, and yet, I hate to say it, I kind of don't care. Yeah. Like you could, there's plenty to roll your eyes at on this show, often in the way that like Peter Morgan is sort of slavishly devoted to the legacy of this family. Mm-hmm. But I do think that where it counts, well, not always, but on certain occasions, the show is critical of them, at least to some extent.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Prince Charles breakdancing to show how cool and
when there's the Chiron, that's like Prince Charles
has $1 billion.
Prince Charles is a good guy.
That stuff gets a little silly, but I don't know. It's not as if like it's like ending every episode with like the waving British flag. You know, like that's not happening.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it at least invites the discussion, and I think it will depending on the episode and how the season goes, of whether or not the Queen and her family, how much, you know, love they deserve and how important are they really to the British people. I think while it might secretly be royalist, it at least promotes a discourse that I think is interesting. And I think, you know, now more than ever, we should be interrogating.
Yeah, totally. And this is going to be, you know, I hate to use the word, but it's going to be kind of a juicy season. I mean, that's a horrible word to use when half of it,
Someone has died.
Is going to be about Princess Diana's death.
And the Queen just died.
But I think they're also going to go, because it's the last season, I think they're going to go into, like, adult William and Harry and all that stuff.
We're going to meet Kate Middleton.
We're all going
We're not going to meet Meghan Markle. Allegedly.
Yeah, okay. It's supposed to end. It's supposed to be the end.
Because she's... Peter Morgan would never allow such a thing. But you may be curious. So what's happening is the show is kind of coming out in two blocks, basically. So there's going to be four episodes on November 16th. And then there's going to be a break until December when the final six of this 10-episode season air. So because it's not airing week to week, we at Still Watching have had to kind of figure out how this is going to work. What we're going to do is next week, the 16th, we're going to have recaps of episodes 1 and 2. Those are going to be separate episodes of Still Watching, but they'll be at the same time to when the episodes are available on Netflix. Then we're going to drop episodes 3 and 4. Then we're going to take a break until the December drop. And that week, you're going to see recaps for 5, 6, and 7 in the Still Watching feed. And then the week after, it'll be 8, 9, and 10. So basically, you, the listener, can time when you want to listen to Still Watching.
You
want to watch the episodes. I don't recommend watching one episode of The Crown and then listening to four episodes of Still Watching. That would be a weird way to do it.
There might be some spoilers if such a thing
to
exists.
To be fair, I firmly believe that you can't spoil things that actually happen. That's a separate conversation.
Yeah. That is fair.
So we hope you'll bear with us as we kind of negotiate this different formatting. You know, obviously, this is a first for us. We haven't really done a Netflix show before on Still Watching. That's because of the way that the episodes are released. But we figured that the final season of The Crown, this being Vanity Fair and all, we just had to do it, and I hope you'll stick with us throughout, you know, the rest of the royals.
Yeah, and you can always binge Still Watching when you're done binging The Crown, and just not have the experience end for another 10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours of The Crown and 10 hours of us. I think that sounds great.
All right, so we'll see you again next week for our recaps of episodes 1 and 2 of the final season of The Crown. See you then.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
From PRX.